Kind Father, I love you. I bless you. I magnify you. I adore you. I place none other before you. God, we ask that you come into this time of sharing, come into this time. Let your word come forth like never before. And I ask you to anoint me, anoint my mouth, anoint my thoughts, anoint my words and my processing of the words that you have given to me. God, I ask for it to be beneficial and be able to accomplish everything that it's set out to do. God, let it fall on good ground so that it may be nourished and planted and grow and produce much fruit. God, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart, God, be acceptable in your sight. The Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen and amen. Good morning, City Reach Church and the world. Thank you again, once again, for joining with us as we continue on with the series we started earlier this month called Marked, and how God has anointed us and marked us for greater. God has anointed us and marked us and filled us with his Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. And as a gift, he has given us to do great things and to do great exploits, to accomplish great things throughout the world, to help each other so that God's love and Jesus's love, the gospel can be spread throughout the world. We all have a calling. We all have a job to do. We all have something that God has called us for greater. Where you are right now is not where you can be. You can go greater. You can go further if you just continue on and continue doing what God has called you to do. All right. So we talked about this earlier this month, talked about how God has marked us. And we start talking about David when Samuel anointed him as king over Israel. And at the time, David was overlooked. He wasn't one of the chosen brothers or one of the chosen sons by his father, Jesse, when Samuel came to anoint the next king because God had rejected Saul. And so after, he went through all of the seven brothers and then anointing fell on David when David was presented to Samuel and God favored him. He went back after he was anointed. He went back to the shepherd and went back to tending his sheep. And then it wasn't until years later till he worked out the calling that God has provided that he spoke over him. He became king. And much of us have been the same path, the same method, the same thing. We've been gifted, we've been anointed, we've been called by God, but yet and still, what we're doing now is not what we've been called to do. So you've been anointed, but you seem like you're in a waiting pattern, and you're like in a holding pattern, and you're like, well, when is my turn, God? When am I going to be to do what you called me to do? I know you called me for greater. I know you called me for more than this. But so when is it going to be my turn? I see everybody else having their turn. Everybody else having their shot. When is it going to be my turn? We talked about that. It's like, just be patient and you're waiting. And use the waiting time as not just a time of sitting back, waiting for your turn, waiting for your shot to come up, but actually working out and doing those things and serving God while you're waiting, using waiting as an action word. An action verb, serving God by loving his people, serving God by serving his people. So while you're doing that waiting process, what God is doing is he's also preparing you for the position that he has for you. He's preparing you for the calling that he's laid out for you from the moment you were born. He's preparing you to do great exploits, to do those things that God has worked out for you. So that when you come to that time, when you walk into that season, when you walk into that position that God has called you for, you'll be ready and you'll be capable to handle it. You'll be well equipped to handle what God has called you to do. So what we need to do is, rather than trying to think of ourselves higher or think of ourselves greater than or think of ourselves more than anybody else or more than somebody else, you see somebody else being the king, you see somebody else doing what God's called you to do. So I could do it better than that. God's called me for that. It's my turn. I'm going to bully my way in and make my way and do what God's called me to do. God doesn't want you to do that. What God wants you to do, rather than exalt yourself, God wants you to humble yourself. Humble yourself? Humble yourself? Yes. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before God so that in due season, he can lift you up. So 1 Peter 5th chapter and the 6th verse says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. And by humble, we mean to make small, to be obedient, to make low. If you think about David, and we talked about this last week and the week before, David humbled himself. He didn't think himself high. He didn't think himself to be, when he was anointed king, he didn't walk around thinking, I'm the king, follow me, all hail me. No, he went back to being a shepherd. And he humbled himself so that in due season, in God's timing, because God is the creator of time, he exalted him before men, and he lifted him up in honor. And that's what God wants us to do. So when you get our call, when we get the call, and when we get the promise, and the promise has been revealed to you, what are you doing in the meantime? When God has spoken a word over your life, and the prophetic word has come over your life and said, you will be this, you will do that, or you get a dream and you get a vision and you get an idea, what are you doing in the meantime? What are you doing during that development process? Are you fighting tooth and nail to make it happen? Are you doing everything that you try to build and build your way to make things happen, to try to put just like, okay, I want to do this, I want to make this, I want to walk through this, I want to do that? Or are you humbling yourselves and letting God make things happen for you? Here's the thing. God doesn't want us to strive to our purpose. He wants us to stride, to just walk with God, rather than fighting tooth and nail to do what you want to do. Just walk with God. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you into all truth. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you and direct you and teach you the ways of life and teach you the ways of the things that God wants you to learn, so that when you do stride or roll into your position, you can walk into it without having to fight for it. Because here's the thing, the battle isn't yours anyway. The battle belongs to the Lord. Because once you get the word, the enemy knows about it too. He's going to be fighting for you. He's going to be fighting against everything that was promised over your life. When the promise has been spoken over your life, the enemy is going to be fighting tooth and nail, fighting you hard to try to get you to deny your calling and try not to do it. But the battle, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we wrestle because it's a spiritual thing, but we wrestle against the spiritual powers of rulers of wickedness in high places and authorities. So you allow the angels and God to fight those battles for you, and you let the Holy Spirit move to you and move inside of you, so you can just strive and learn your lessons and go about your day and serve God's people and serve God by serving others. And before you know it, you'll be lifted up in due season. Amen. So he doesn't want you to strive or fight towards your purpose. He wants you to strive and walk with God. It's not just a quick race, but it's a quick sprint. It's a marathon. The race isn't given to, it gives it to one that endures to the end. And Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 says, I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. So you can run fast, or you can try to be wealthy but end up hungry. You can run fast and still lose. You could be rich and still go broke, or still go hungry. But if you just walk with God or walk with the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you, what's going to happen? He's going to put you before great men. He's going to give you opportunities that you didn't see coming. He's going to put things in front of your place. He gives you the ability to create wealth. He gives you the ability to do things. So rather than trying to create things or make things happen, allow God to let things happen in your life. And before you know it, God will give you that chance. He'll give you that opportunity to prove himself and to prove yourself. The things that you've learned and the lessons that you learned throughout your life that took you to that moment so that you can prove that God's working all things out together for your good in your life. All we need to do, I know, is to trust God. All we need to do is to trust God. Sometimes it seems hard. Sometimes it seems unsure or like unfitting, because I know what I want. I know I can see it right there. But God wants you to trust him, even when you don't really see him working, or even when things seem to work against you, or you seem to be going the opposite direction than what you think you should be going. I should be going over here, but God is leading you over somewhere else. But God wants you to trust him, even when you can't trace him. God wants you to trust him, even when you can't see him. God wants you to trust him, even when you can't hear him. Even when you think you're all alone, know that God is still there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never turn his back on you. He'll never deny you. All you need to do is to have faith and to trust him, even when you can't trace him. Even when you can't see his hands working on your life. But know that God is walking all things out in the behind the scenes. All you need to do is to keep pace and keep walking. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you. You may seem like it's a setback, but it's a setup. It may seem like it's a test, but it's going to turn into a testimony. It may seem like it's a trial, but it's going to turn into a triumph. God is going to work all things out. For good, for those that love him, and you love him, and God loves you. He's not going to waste any opportunity in your life to make things better. God doesn't waste anything. He uses the good and the bad to work things out in your life. Nothing is wasted on God. Not even your mistakes aren't wasted, because your mistakes happen for a reason, because you learned something. Your setbacks happen for a reason, because it allows you to recognize, oh, I need to step back and humble myself and not try to be all great and grand, because God's going to give me my opportunity. Nothing is wasted on God. Your mistakes, your setbacks, your losses, your failures, your wins, your good things, everything happens for a reason. And he wants you to do is, because even when you get little wins, even when you get small things and it seems like it's not great, there's not much, and God has called you to a great ministry. God has called you to lead many people. God has called you to great things, but what you're getting is just a little glimpse. Or you're getting a little shot, or you're getting, God has called me to have many people, and all of a sudden you just get one client or one person or one something in your business. You only get one client, or you get one bite. Be faithful with that one client, because what it is a steward. Be a steward of what God has given you, and you steward well, which means is God is entrusting his gifts to you. God is entrusting what he wants to give to you, because he wants you to steward that gift. He wants you to steward that opportunity. He wants you to steward that chance and that shot, so that when you steward it, you can make it grow, and God is going to bless you if you're faithful in the little things. Sometimes he doesn't give you a lot right away, because we may not be able to handle it. But if we steward the little things, if we steward the little opportunities, the little mom and pop shop, the little one client, two clients, three clients, or members, or one member, or two members, but God, be faithful in that little hoopty that you're driving, so that when God presents the opportunity to drive something better, you appreciate it and you'll be a good steward of that. Amen. So you might be a place where you present it with more obstacles than opportunities, or you might be presented to a place where you're faced with more challenges than chances. But God is going to work all things out for you according to the plan he has for you. And you have to follow the plan. You have to follow the blueprint. You have to follow the process. Because sometimes if you don't have a plan, opportunities will come disguised, or will come disguised as like, distractions will come disguised as chances and like, oh, maybe I should go on here, but that's just a distraction because it doesn't match up to the plan that God has for you. Make sure you stick to the plan. Make sure you stick to the purpose that God has called you to do. So sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, that seems like a great opportunity. Maybe I should try this. Consult God before you make that chance. Consult God before you go down that road. Because like I said, God doesn't waste chances, but he doesn't want us to lose time making a wrong decision when he could just consult God. And that's a lesson you should learn as well. Consult God with any decision that you need to make, because he's the one that knows you. He's the one that called you. He's the one that anointed you. So consult God with every chance that we get. Every morning, wake up. God, I love you. I bless you. I praise you. I thank you for this day. Grant me the opportunities that you want me to do. Allow me to work those things out. Allow me to be a steward of what you've given me. I'm grateful for the little bit that you've given me, because I know that in due season, it's going to grow. It's going to reap a harvest of blessings. So I'm going to be grateful for the little opportunity that I have, because in due season, if it's your will, I will be blessed with more. And if it's not, I'm going to be faithful with the few. Remember the parable Jesus told us, his disciples, about the master who gave seeds and gave different gifts and talents. He gave one five talents or gifts. He gave another two talents and or gifts. And he gave another one talent or gifts. And he went back for it, went away. And then he came back after a season. And he went back to each person that he gave the different gifts or talents to. And the one person that he had given five talents, he multiplied it and gave him back 10 talents. And God said, well done, that good and faithful servant. You know, he was pleased with that. The same one with the one he had given two talents to. He came back and the servant presented him with four gifts or talents. But the one that he gave one talent, he was just like afraid and said, I buried it. And God was, and the master was angry and took that one talent that he had given, and he had buried away or wasted away his one talent that he had given, and gave it to the one that had five or now 10. Matthew 25 and 21 is what he says to the servant that he had given five talents. And he says, the master was full of praise and said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Come on, let's celebrate together. You can't hear God say well done until there's a well do. You won't hear God, or you can't hear God say well done until there's a well do. You need to do things that God has called you to do right now. You need to be a good steward of the gifts and talents and opportunities that God has given you today. God has given us a day, and each portion of a day, he has given us grace. He has given us mercy. He has given us opportunities and chances and people to see and people to bless and people to minister to. Don't squander it. Don't waste your shot. Do what God has called you to do and be a good steward of each day, and let God lead you, and let God direct you, and let God multiply those things. Because when he comes back, you want God to hear, say, God, well done. Come on, let's celebrate. I'm going to give you more because you've been faithful in a little bit. I'm going to give you more. A perfect example is Jesus. You want to follow after him, follow after his example. Jesus didn't waste any time. He didn't waste his shots. He didn't waste any opportunity. Everywhere he went was an opportunity to spread the love of God. Everywhere he went, every person he came in contact with, he changed their life. Every person he came in contact with, he healed or set free or taught or ministered or even let them, gave them the ability to live a life free from sin and forgave their sins most of all. And what Jesus did, he humbled himself. Jesus was God in flesh. When God looked down on man and said, look, I can't find anybody that I can trust that can take away the sins of the world, Jesus willingly said, send me, God. I'll go. I know I'm God. Prepare me a body and I'll go. I'll humble myself before you. I'll humble myself even before man. So that in due season, that when I humble myself, that you'll be able to raise me up. Philippians 2nd chapter, starting with the 6th verse, it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So therefore, God elevated him to the highest, to the place of highest honor, and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus even came down, and when he came to do his calling, to do what God has called him to do, he humbled himself just like we should humble ourselves. Take his example. And he humbled himself. Why? Because he came for you. He knew he had a job to do. He knew he had a calling to fulfill. He had a life to save, which is yours. He came down from heaven and gave up his heavenly body and took on a form of earthly body. It wasn't put into a man or a king or a priest. He was put into a lowly baby, born in the hood of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, it can. Born to an unwed or a mother, Mary, who was betrothed to be wed to her husband, Joseph. He came into an awkward situation, a humble situation, a lowly situation, just to show us and to share with us his love and to show us how much he loved us. He humbled himself for you. Lived a life, preached, led, called, discipled, taught, performed miracles, did signs and wonders, forgave sins, and died on the cross, a criminal's cross. He paid my debt and he paid yours. Why? Because he loves you. And all we need to do is accept him. Accept that love. Accept that free gift. Don't waste that shot that he's paid for you. Don't waste that opportunity, that gift that he has freely given to you. Steward that gift and accept that gift into your heart. John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And we come to what I like to call the salvation ABCs, which allows us to lead us back to Christ. Everything goes to the cross, and everything goes through the cross to our salvation. The ABCs of salvation. A is to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. A, knowledge. B, believe. C, confess. Allow Christ to come into our hearts. That's why he came, for you and for me. Let's pray this prayer together. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Listen, I want to communicate with you. I want to get in contact with you. I need you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Listen, thank you so much for joining with us. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for my shot to present God's word to you and his love to you. I'm appreciative of you taking your time out to share your life and your time with us. I love you all. God bless you. Have a great day.